Former ABC radio and TV presenter Andy Muirhead was yesterday sentenced to 10 months jail on child pornography charges. One aspect of Muirhead's defence was that the former collector's host viewed child pornography as an escape from work stress and out of, quote, morbid curiosity. Well, that was dismissed by Tasmanian Chief Justice Ewan Crawford, who said Andy Muirhead had viewed the material because he was sexually excited by it. Now, the judge also dismissed claims made by a psychologist that Andy Muirhead was not a paedophile. So what do we know about the people who view this material and their motivation for viewing it? Stephen Smallbone is a professor in the School of Criminology and Criminal Justice at Griffith University in Queensland, and he's co-author of a book called Internet Child Pornography, Causes, Investigation and Prevention. Stephen Smallbone joins us this morning from Brisbane. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you. Good morning.
Stephen, is there any, or is there ever any other reason other than sexual gratification for viewing child pornography?
Well, yes, I think there can be, but I think in cases where the accessing of that material has been prolonged over a period of time, it would leave little doubt in my mind that the motivation was driven fundamentally by sexual interest.
So it's not just a case of voyeurism, I've come upon this, much like a car crash, and I can't take my eyes off it. This is an instance of a person who's systematically looked for it.
Well, one of the real gaps in our understanding of this is how people first encounter the material. And you know, quite a number of offenders say that the first encounter that they had was kind of accidental, maybe while viewing adult pornography or even for some other kind of accidental reason. We don't know really enough about that. But, you know, going back to the material again and then again, and ultimately for some developing what's clearly a compulsive interest in it, you know, it really does suggest to me a basic sexual interest in the material. It seems unsurprising and uncontroversial.
If a man consistently views child porn, does that make him a paedophile?
Here's another controversial issue. I mean, I think in the public usage of that term, it's become very unclear what people mean by paedophilia. Clearly, it's a psychiatric term, but I think even the psychiatric diagnosis has become corrupted over a long period of time. I tend not to use the term if I can. But in terms of, you know, if the question is does viewing child pornography lead people into abusing children, the evidence there suggests that mainly no. I mean, that can happen, but there have been some quite large-scale studies now around the world that show very low transition rates from use of child pornography to abusing children.
Yeah, not to excuse the matter in any way, but in other words, viewing this kind of material doesn't necessarily lead or even usually lead to people acting out their sexual fantasies.
No, there seems to be a growing number, or has been a growing number at least over the last decade or two, of people who have had access to the material through the internet. But it's worth remembering that that people are also producing this material, and there's also distribution activity or distribution networks. And those three aspects, so production, distribution and use, are really three quite different aspects of the problem. There can, of course, be overlap between those three groups, but the largest proportion seems to be people who use the material but aren't necessarily involved in its production or even its distribution.
As I understand it, this material is not, as you said, readily available. It's highly illegal everywhere in the world. And to get hold of it, to view it on the internet, is not a straightforward matter. As anyone who's used the internet knows, simply typing something into Google does not produce this material.
So in other words,
you need to go somewhere and know how to go there, and typically have to share what you have before you can obtain other material. Now, in that instance, does this require a concerted effort by someone to actually find this in the first place?
Well, increasingly so, yes. I mean, this is another aspect of the problem that has changed and is continuing to change. I think, you know, perhaps a decade ago, it may have been easier to find this material on websites. But, of course, that area of the internet is risky from an offender's point of view, increasingly so. And so it seems that the trade, the access to this material is happening at deeper levels of the internet, which, of course, makes it more difficult to police. But on the other hand, it takes it further away from, you know, casual viewing, you know, kind of people who might come across it by accident. So, yes, I think you're right. Now, it's not easy to find.
I mean, it's fair to say, isn't it, that you can't come across it by accident. You have to go looking.
Well, I still think it's possible to do that. There are documented cases, for example, of having links to child pornography embedded in legal adult pornography sites. Now, this is becoming a bit of a cat and mouse game, as I guess you'd expect. These sites might pop up and then disappear, you know, as police are alerted to it, and then the same site might pop up somewhere else. It's a very, very complicated and complex network. You know, the internet is exceptionally, it's a lot's, you know, kind of an unprecedented phenomenon for humans, but it really is an extraordinarily complex and difficult system to, you know, to police and to regulate.
One of the interesting things to me about the Muirhead case is that many people, I think, were shocked when he was charged, but partly because he didn't seem to fit what perhaps the stereotype view of a person who views child pornography is, some miserable, lonely person sitting in a one-bedroom tenement somewhere. That here was this seemingly successful media performer, young man, viewing this material. Is there a profile? Are we right to think that he didn't fit the norm?
No, we'd not be right to think that. The profile such as it is, I mean, there are always variations, of course, but just talking in terms of averages, he really fits exactly the profile. The average age of users is around 37. They're usually white, so not minority race. Male, well, almost always male. Educated, employed, often in relationships, sometimes with their own children. Very ordinary profile. It's one of the kind of striking things about the problem. The users do not look like criminals or offenders. They you know, have very little criminal involvement other than this, by and large. Now, again, that's an average. There are exceptions to that, of course, and no doubt there are people who are abusing children and viewing pornography. There are people who are criminally involved, and this is part of their criminal involvement. But by and large, the profile is really of a very ordinary middle-class white male.
All right, good to spend some time with you. Stephen Smallbone, Professor in the School of Criminology and Criminal Justice at Griffith University in Queensland. Also the co-author with Richard Wortley of a book, Internet Child Pornography, Causes, Investigations and Preventions, published by Prager. And that's available right now.